There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, I'm about to go on vacation, bro.
I know what you're up to, buddy. I know that.
Do you think I'll become different after vacation?
Well, hopefully you can relax a little bit, you know, not be such a little tyrant. Yeah, that might work.
Yeah, you think I'm a little fucking tyrant?
Well, not after vacation, perhaps. That's the whole point of vacation. Well,
you
gotta
sleep with fucking one eye open in this life.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you
do.
Who's coming? You know who's coming?
I don't know about all that. I always say sleep with both eyes closed. That's the only way to get to the REM sleep, which is quite key to having a good night's rest. So
you're having a good episode so far.
Oh, absolutely nailing it. Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel with the newly refreshed. I mean, you know, just the man who knows how to relax more than anybody else. He is the real Rodney Dangerfield of relaxation, Henry Zebrowski.
Love to relax.
Live I know you do.
To relax. You know, it's just... Like, what do we do for a living? It's we have fun, right? We yuck it up.
Yeah, we yuck it up. That's what we do, yeah.
But when you're yucking it up, the thing is that you want to make sure that you got to get the rest of your life has to be just as yuck-filled as your job.
Sure.
And sometimes the balance gets off because you spend so many times making yucks for other people that you're not spending enough time making yuck for yourself.
That's right. Make yucks for yourself. If you're a listener out there and you haven't had a yuck in a while... please, first of all, never say the word yuck as much as we're currently saying it. I hate the term. It reminds me of all the comedy clubs that rejected me when I was coming up in this wonderful institution of the entertainment industry.
I was
rejected from the Yuck Yuck Hut, from a place called Snickers. There's also a place called Grins. I don't know why comedy clubs choose to be so ominous with their names, but indeed they are places where hellacious things happen.
The concept of a restaurant or a bar called Grins is very scary to me. I just think of a bunch of like people who have died of like a wasting disease and the skin is pulled back from their teeth to reveal these like just horrible permanent grimaces on their skull meat.
Welcome to Grins. Today on the menu, we have poutine, and I hope you like soup in a cup.
It's all we have. All our food is designed to give you diarrhea.
Honestly, comedy clubs are named the worst names in the entertainment industry. Anyway, all right, so we have a bunch of fun... ish stories to get to.
Yeah, you
some
think so?
Some are worse than others, but I think we have to talk about one of the worst terror attacks in the history of the world. Of course, we covered them in our series on Shinrikyo. They're back in the news a little bit.
Well, it's not one of the worst attacks in the world because there's been obviously ones that have higher body count. There are ones with higher body counts.
There are.
But what they tried to do, it was more of what their idea was really fucked up in comparison to what they actually did.
Well, absolutely. They made it one hell of a horrible subway ride for a lot of people, and they destabilized the folks of Tokyo, and the people of Tokyo said, can we trust the system? Can we trust the government if these people are allowed to pull off this attack that they were able to pull off? So a Tokyo court on Wednesday ordered, now, Henry, what is the name of this person? Aleph? It's A-L-P-H. Is it Aleph?
I believe it is Aleph. Yes.
Aleph. Now, she is the main successor of the Shinrikyo Doomsday Cult. Now, she, because of that, she has been ordered to pay 1 billion yen in damages to the victims of the Tokyo subway sarin attack that shook the country. Of course, that was in March of 1995. My question is this. Does she have
a billion yen?
What is
that? Yeah, that's almost $9 million.
Does she have, like, is the Shinrikyo piggy bank really that runneth over with yen? I mean,
absolutely not. No.
Yeah, but where would they even get money if they tried? Who is buying, like, a pin? What do you do? Start a podcast?
What do you do when that happens in real life? Like, if you get, like, a civil judgment where you're supposed to spend a certain amount of money and you don't have this money, can you just go to a judge and be like, I do not have this money?
I mean, maybe if you're in My Cousin Vinny, you can do it like that, and perhaps the judge will sympathize with your small-minded ways and just realize you're a local yokel who is getting raked over the coals. When it comes to this woman, I guess you just garnish her wages until the $9 million of 1 billion yen are paid off. Also, because why did she want to be the success? Like, did she volunteer for this position? Because once the head is dead, why even be the successor for Shinrikyo?
They are patiently waiting for the next wave. They are very determined. They are they believe that they are the next wave of humankind, which I get. They stick into their guns. I was actually wondering if you can even file for bankruptcy in Japan.
Can a cult file?
I mean, if you're a group, but I don't think that they are a group. I think it would just go on a left.
I didn't realize. So, obviously the terror attack, again, it killed 29 folks, injured 6,000. And of course, that resulted in the indictment of 192 people. And that could have been worse if they didn't mess up the one bomb that they wanted to have go off as well. So, I mean, I guess we got kind of lucky that it was only as horrible as it is. So you think there's people that still believe in the Shinrikyo ideas? I thought that this cult kind of died with the hanging.
No, dude. They are well. They are alive and well. There are still sects all over. It's kind of like what happened with Order of the Solar Temple and the Heaven's Gate. They still have these little kind of satellite groups. It's like seeds where they hope that one day if the fever can catch on again, that they kind of toe the line and they keep it alive.
Apparently, so the cultists of this group, they renamed themselves Aleph in 2000, and then in July of that year, the group apologized, like, thank you for the apology, I guess, to the victims, and agreed to pay 900 million yen to them by 2005 through an administrator, as the group had declared bankruptcy. Since then, Aleph paid a certain amount to the victims' supporters, but withheld the payment of the demanded amount, claiming it had no assets to repay the debt. So,
I mean, they don't have any assets. They don't have anything, and you can't pay for things in a hope and a dream. Right, Kissel? You can't just pay just because I wish I could pay it. If I could, I would, but it doesn't really work like that.
No, absolutely not. So this Judge Tanaka, ordered Aleph to pay the 1.2 billion yen plus interest, taking into account the amount returned over the 19 years. At the news conference held after the Tokyo court ruling on Wednesday, attorneys representing the victims in the lawsuit said that they were content with the court's decision, saying the judge apparently recognized the plaintiff's claims. The compensation money will be paid to 517 victims and surviving family members. But if I'm these victims, I guess I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I feel like you got your sorry. So is that the only thing that matters? Is that you got someone to say I'm sorry to you? And then I guess that's good enough.
I mean, can you really apologize? Like, I mean, could the terrorists on 9/11, could they just come back and be like, sorry? Is it like a Canadian sorry where you know they're not sorry, but they're just saying sorry?
We just kind of, we had a lot of growing up to do. And now that we've taken the time to really sit and do the reading, we now know it was wrong to bring down those towers.
Yes, and wrong to kill 29 people that are commuting from work.
And I agree with them. It is wrong. Again, thank you for the apology. I say let him go.
Okay.
Let him go back from the street, because who knows what Aleph will do now that once you give her she could pick her up by her bootstraps, she could start like her own version of Goop. Putting jade eggs up your pussy, it's all just new ways to create nerve gas to just actually give you the nerve to stick to that diet.
Wow. See, now that would be a positive attack. Why not? Positive attack.
See, that's a funny idea. That's a sketch right there. Someone just send that to Saturday Night Live. They are just on fire right now.
I know. I saw Michael Che, our good friend, roundtabler of the year multiple times in a row. He was able to wrestle at WrestleMania with Colin Jost. But Michael, of course, is our friend. And they were pretty good. They were pretty good. It was compelling stuff, and we'll talk about wrestling a little bit later on here in this episode as well.
Che is the only good thing about that show, and I'm very happy for him.
Oh, yeah, very happy, I'm very, very happy.
All right. I want to talk about this story of a man. You know, people say horse girls, right? Like, girls love horses.
Oh, yeah, sure.
People love horses, their beauty, their majesty. People love to eat horse, even though it's not very tasty. I didn't really enjoy it.
No, I don't think you never eat. Henry, can you just make a commitment right now to all of the horse people that listen, the ones who like to ride the horses, pet the horses, and say thank you for being my friend, horse, that you're never going to eat horse meat again?
I cannot in good faith make that promise.
God, what? You don't even like it.
I don't. I know. But when you're at, like, let's say we go to some place. We're going to be in a lot of places this year. We're going to be in Australia. We're going to be in the UK. We're going to be in all these spots. If someone's going to eventually be like, Ace, oh, I got some fresh horse for you. Like, right. If they tell you and they present you, be like, there you go, it's horse cereal. It's made out of horse yos. Like, they do it, and you're in their home, if you're in their hut.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you're in their pueblo.
Right, right.
You got to take it or else you're rude.
No, that is true. Once presented with food, as every Italian person will tell you, if you don't at least have a bite, you're completely screwed. That's what screwed over Dukakis, but I've already told that story. And
Several times.
Yes, several times. It's a story I know, so I tell
you
it over and over again.
You were haunted by Dukakis.
Oh, yeah.
But how old were you when Dukakis was even running?
I was 7. My parents kept on calling him Doo-Doo Kaka, which is probably why Donald Trump was able to win this whole thing.
Because that Doo-Doo Kaka sitting in the tank over there, I know he's lying. He's the closest thing he's ever been to is a tank of a car that'll take him to the gay bar.
Yeah, that's basically the Rush Limbaugh criticism of Dukakis at the time. All right.
But this is a story. Man with history of pleasuring himself near horses strikes twice in 24 hours. The Batman villain that got cut out of Batman 4 is alive and well in reality. A man with a long history of performing sex acts near horses has done it again.
Oh,
for the
no.
second time. In 24 hours. Malcolm Downs, 61, has a long, long history, quote, quote, unquote, of pleasuring himself near horses, and was last before the courts in 2016 when he was jailed for what a judge called his totally disgusting behavior.
Uh-huh.
Downs, he said he was planning a doctor's visit to seek libido-suppressing drugs. He wanted to go. He wanted to go. So he was seen in a field jerking off in the town of Bransome in Hull. I think this is in the UK.
Yes, it is.
All right. So they saw him. He's out in the field. He does look like a ghastly, horse horny scarecrow with hair, patches of hair just glued to the top of his head.
He looks like a character that Toby Hooper might cast in the 1970s or 1980s to just hang outside of a rest area and just to make the mood creepy. Just one of those characters that doesn't have any other role, like Friday the 13th, where it's like, ooh, that town's got a death curse. That's the only role.
The only thing. You get here by taxi, or you get here by horse. Because if you did, oh, I'd like to take a look at the udders of that big sexy beast.
You just described a cow.
I think, don't horses have udders?
No, they don't have udders.
Well, how do they get the milk?
They don't milk a horse.
Yeah,
I don't think you milk a horse.
Horses have milk that they feed to their children.
Yeah, but I don't, the calves, but I don't think horses have udders.
Do horses
have udders?
Looking it up.
Look it up. See what.
Fortunately, problems with the horse's mammary glands are fairly uncommon. A mare who has never been pregnant usually has a very small udder, which is barely visible except for just two teats.
All right, there you go. So you can jerk off to that. I guess this guy did.
So he was in the field, and a member of the public was 200 yards away and originally thought that Downs was just urinating.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutor Neil Coxon told Hull Crown Court, it soon became clear he was in fact masturbating. This activity went on for 3 or 4 minutes. His penis was exposed for about 10 minutes. The matter was reported to the police, and he was arrested. Now, Downs, and while he was interviewed, he said, well, I was sitting on a bench. I was feeling sexy, so I started to, all right, and he mimicked the hand motion of jerking off. Mr. Coxon said, he asked if he realized if this was an offense. Did you realize that this is a crime? And Malcolm Down said, yes,
All right. So, well, that's good.
That was a part of it.
I guess it would have been better if he was just urinating and perhaps, you know, a long night of drinking.
Pissing on the horses?
I don't know. Well, this is the interesting thing here. So he was not actually touching the horses. He says he felt sexy. How do we know that the horses were what was making him feel so sexy?
Because he said several times that I like jerking off at horses. Down said he knew that what he was doing was wrong, but he didn't do it to draw attention to himself. He was sorry, which is like, yeah, of course he didn't do it to draw attention to himself.
No, no.
He was trying to draw attention to his penis to the horses.
Yes.
But the officer, basically Downs was charged and released on bail, and so he left. But 24 hours later, he was seen by an off-duty female in the same, an off-duty female police officer doing the same shit in the same field.
I don't know.
Officer
that doesn't sound
good. Officer was driving along the road towards Home Bargains when her attention was drawn to the defendant at the end of an emergency access road, and he had his penis in his hand and was masturbating.
Yeah.
And so Downs was arrested again the same day, and he was candid and he was straightforward. He's a straight shooter, which I think is great.
Yes.
He did confirm he thought he had a problem, ask why he did this in particular in public. He said he got a thrill, even though he knew it was wrong. And he accepted if children had been in the area and seen what he was doing, that would have frightened them. He accepted he had a problem and he required help.
Absolutely. Well, that's the first step to getting yourself weaned off of publicly masturbating around horses. I've said it before and I'll say it again. How else can that happen without taking the first step to recovery by saying yes? I understand it's not right. I understand children could have been present and dare I say, I'm going to cut back to just twice a week.
And see what I'm doing here? I've got my wrist. See, I've got my wrist here. I'm going to give it a bit of a beaver slap there.
Oh, slap on the
wrist. And that is all I need to know how bad it is to do my lovely act.
Well,
lovely, lovely act. Look at them beautiful mares in the field. And the best part is you can't get them pregnant.
Well, I think Mr. Downs, I think you're regressing a little bit with your treatment. You're still calling it a wonderful act, a lovely act. That's not what it is. It's actually
love, isn't it?
No.
Isn't sex just love? I go up to the mare and show how much I love it? Give it a bit of a tug, a bit of a crub.
Well, you can give it some food. Maybe you ride it. And
I'm not gay.
No, okay, well, very good.
I'm like sex with it. That's how I show I love it.
So this is now Downs. He has a long, long history of this.
Yeah.
Evidently, he has been arrested 35 times, 12 times for masturbating near horses, and 9 times for violating a restraining order that banned him from, quote, from entering any field or stable or any other area that contains equinine? What do you call
it? Equine.
Equine. I don't know. Horses.
Aquarian.
Aquarian?
Equine.
Equine.
I don't know.
It's a horse. He can't go to places that have horses in the Humberside police area.
God. Wow. Good for him, though, I guess. I guess now he'll really change, and I'm really proud of him.
I hope so.
I was being sarcastic. I think that this will always be a problem for him. I think the term would be a do-over on his life.
Well,
something froze back in the day. I'll never understand these things. I don't understand fucking horses or dogs or cats or I don't care how horny you gotta be. How horny do you have to be to strangle an animal enough position in order to fuck it?
I don't know. There's that documentary Zoo, which, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess if you want to ruin a date or a full weekend, the way they talk about having sex with animals is so bizarre. It is a real thing. There's no denying that.
They talk about the love of them.
Yes,
exactly.
And the
love of their body and how much you love them. And just being like, I love Wendy, but I'm not fucking her.
No, definitely not.
I'm not fucking her.
Well, the way that you say it does make me
I'm
the
not fucking her.
Well, I don't
And I will not stand for these accusations.
Well, no one even made any of those accusations.
I will not fuck this dog, no matter how much money anybody pays me.
Okay, no one said that you would.
I don't care what this audition requires.
All right, well, unless John Waters is doing another Pink Flamingos, I think you'll be okay.
It's okay if it's not mine, right?
I don't think it's ever okay, Mr. Downs, no. And I don't think you have enough money to own a horse, so it's never yours. Shorty.
Hey, you're a big lad. How long are you, long boy?
You want to jerk off to me?
Well, you're going to put this horse head mask on first.
Honestly, if that is much more legal than what you're currently doing. So, again, little baby steps. Put a horse head on a friend of yours.
How much money would it take? Honestly. Like, straight up real. Job offer. Billionaire shows up. Hey, will you stand in a field on all fours with this horse costume on, and I'm just going to jerk off at you?
How much money? $10 million. $100 million. I'm going to go $100 million just to shoot high, and then he's going to negotiate me down to 50.
How much money?
Well, I want a lot of money, so hopefully if he really, really wants it, and if he's a true billionaire, then everything's fine.
What if he's got a budget of $5 million?
Well, you know, we'll have to talk. We'll have to negotiate, see if I can't get any... Maybe I can get some stock or something like that in Apple. Because I'm assuming you're talking about Bill Gates.
No, Bill Gates is trying to give his money to charity. He's not going to waste it. I'm talking about somebody Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, well, you never know.
He's got to get it out of his system somewhere. You remember when he was a drug addict?
I remember when he was having all the fun in the world, but then he got sad and had to get clean. That happens a lot. That's the story arc of many drug addicts. And of course, Tim Cook is the man in charge of Apple. Microsoft is Bill Gates, just to clear that up, because I know a lot of people would say, technically Tim Cook is the head of Apple. And if you think about how interesting that is, you can remember it by saying, oh, what do apples do? If you put them in an oven, they cook. Remember that. I don't know.
Honestly, it does not make any sense.
It doesn't. All right. Well, speaking of food. Here we go. Now, this guy should probably eat a couple more apples. Am I right, Henry?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I feel like maybe he could just cut back on some of the calories. You know, I guess everybody is beautiful.
Everybody is beautiful in its own right. That is absolutely true. This man, it's not his body that got him in trouble. It's more of the actions that he did with that body. A man who abused Virgin Airlines staff deemed too fat for jail. This is a true deeper story, man. No, this is not deeper, man. This is a different guy. Evidently, this is an epidemic on airlines where people are just very large and obnoxious. I don't know. This guy is also
a
ghost.
It's called pulling a Duke Harkonnen.
Oh,
that's what I would say. If you are fat enough to be a terrorist by just your actions, you are a Duke Harkonnen.
So this man, he's not just obnoxious, he's also a ghost hunter. And so what he did to Virgin Airlines, it's kind of Cartman-esque or Bart Simpson-esque. Mm-hmm. All he would do is make phone calls to Virgin Airline workers, then abused, demeaned, and threatened them over the phone. He was deemed too fat for jail. Paranormal investigator, his name is Cade Jones, told the Brisbane District Court he was in too much pain to stand in court to plead guilty to two counts of using a carriage service to harass. The court heard he abused and threatened staff at the airline in June of 2017, leaving them feeling, quote, scared, belittled, upset, and degraded.
So what would he do? So he'd call and he'd say, oh, that's what he says. Jones refused to identify himself on the calls, but proceeded to threaten staff with legal action, made racial slurs, and refused to believe he was talking to someone based in Brisbane.
Yeah, which I don't even understand why he would be so upset. The person's like, I am in Brisbane. No, you're not. I know for a fact you're not.
Oh, if you fucking know. I know you fucking know.
I'm trying to do a Australian, but very, very large. Because it's like, all right, then. All right, something on there.
All right, something on that. You a bit of a muffin. You think you're better than me?
That's
just because my belly's bigger than your whole body. You can tell me I'll go sit in the plane.
Well, it does sound like a little bit of a little lard in the throat there. I think that worked out well.
So, I tell you what, though, he looks cool with the sunglasses.
He does. He wears his sunglasses at night, probably because he has a hard time. I don't even know.
They have to be prescription.
Yeah. Jones had already been placed on a watch list with the airline, which banned him from flying with them in 2010 after he made the phone calls. Jones has been convicted of similar offenses on three other occasions dating back to 1998. So he was sentenced to 12 months in prison, but then ordered he be released on $2,000 for good behavior. And
basically, he's on parole for 5 years.
Basically, he's on parole for 5 years. Judge Lori said if he harassed people over the phone again, he would be sent behind bars regardless of his weight. So this guy actually did everything right. It's not the harassing phone calls, but when it comes to being too fat to jail, I didn't think that that was possible. But evidently, he found a way to get out of jail. He got a free get out of jail card. Of course, he'll probably die of a massive heart attack at any point here. He is
quite large. Probably. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is that he beat the system.
Yeah,
he's the
did.
Genius. We're the idiots.
Yeah,
it's true. He gamed the system. He's out of jail now, getting to do whatever the hell it is he wants to do. Honestly, prison might have almost been good for him because maybe the lack of the getting to your favorite foods or whatever could help you lose some of the weight, but it's not really it. It's about, like, you know, you got to change your whole lifestyle and you got to add some exercise in there.
But, of course, with prison, as we know, with all the great prison documentaries like Lock Up and Lock Up Raw, what do they like to eat? They like the Ring Dings. They got their Snickers bars. The whole canteen, prison canteen, is just Doritos and Twix and everything that a child could want.
It's comfort foods.
It's comfort foods. Honey buns. So I think he may have just ended up growing to the size of his cell. Almost like Juggernaut in the most recent Deadpool 2, just becoming massive in there. And really, maybe he would have had fun. I don't know.
It's a good way. It's a good defense because you just get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I mean, it's definitely not an incentive for him to lose weight, because what if he does lose weight? If he does, I wonder if they're going to be like, oh, now you fit. So I'm sorry, you're going to prison as opposed to having probation for 5 years. This guy is going to be on My 600-Pound Life at some point.
I will say, with the way his life is, it's easy to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, but he's got to wait.
Goes wherever the chair's going.
That's it. He's got to wait until after the promotion. Or after.
I don't want to see you contain me. I'd like to see what you're going to do about what I'll do, because now I'm free. And then they just put the brakes on the wheelchair. It's like,
He's having fun.
Now I can't go anyway. I just have to sit here and look at for ghosts. It's sort of more nice. Walking around looking in the closets for ghosts. There's nothing I find in here but empty pizza boxes. Well, this is a sad time for me, actually. I thought I'd be celebrating.
Well, but I mean, I'm not. No, you're not celebrating. You have to stay fat, or otherwise you're going to go back to jail. And, I mean, what is this? When you're a ghost hunter, you don't have to be the most agile. But, you know, sometimes you got to sneak into hard places, abandoned hospitals.
You got to be agile.
A little agile. I don't see how this guy could have even found any ghosts whatsoever. He doesn't seem like a very active person. Who's calling this guy to find the ghost?
Here we go. He's some ectoplasm. I feel some ectoplasm coming in. It came dribbling out. Oh, I was just jerking off.
Yeah, I think that was, well, I thought maybe it might be a little
dumb. I'm sorry
dumb
to
as
everyone.
Well.
I'm sorry about this. It's a cheap way to make a joke. It's a cheap way to get a ghost.
And it's also another crime that you have just committed in the courtroom.
Oh, I just stumbled and everything, eh? No.
This man looks, the picture of him is intense. He is a serious dude. He wears all black because black is very thin or slimming, and so he looks good.
Sheer just mass that he has on from his temples.
Yeah,
he has meat on his temples that is so thick it actually makes his normal sunglasses wraparounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love it. Big old boys. And of course, if this was the case in the United States, our prison system would see probably a 20% reduction of inmates, because we're a big people here. We are a big people. By the way, you can get the Ben Kissel Truth shirts now. They're in 4X and 3X because we had some complaints and I did not realize that they were just in 2X. So you can get your shirts. Get your shirts. But I don't think that this would really work out here in the States if people were deemed too fat to imprison, because there are some big ones out there.
No, dude.
And, you know.
It's the ultimate game. Again, it's Homer Simpson. I'm going to do this story. We're going down to Brazil.
Ooh.
A young girl, 18-year-old girl, she has been labeled a cannibal for eating her 5-year-old brother's penis after torturing him to death and severing his head in a black magic ritual, which is, in all my magical reading, not a ritual.
Oh, my goodness. This is not what Brazil is known for. It's known for big old butts and good times and beaches.
Have you ever had a really nice Brazilian barbecue? Have we done that? Have I done that with you?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think we've done it together, but I've had it, and it is a delight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I had the little chicken hearts. I love chicken hearts, right? The little, like, little thin little rapier with chicken hearts on it. And it kind of, now that I think about it, it could be a bunch of little boys' penises.
I don't know. I mean, either way, I don't even, well, obviously it's worse if it would be the latter, but I don't think you need to be eating skewers full of chicken hearts.
Have you had it? Have you had it?
No, that's the giblets. It's like when you get the turkey home and they got all the giblets in the bag. I'm not a giblet guy. No, you're just a weird, you're a strange man.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
It's a chicken heart.
A teenage girl in Brazil has allegedly confessed to torturing her 5-year-old brother to death before eating his severed penis. Ugh. Police are investigating the possibility that the crime was linked to a black magic ritual because the body was found on the floor surrounded by several candles. I think she was using the candles for visibility.
I don't know.
Now, her name is Katrina Roque. Malcion Roque's heavily mutilated body was found by his mother on Thursday night after a relative broke into the family's house in São Roque, southeast Brazil, to find an 18-year-old Karina standing beside the child's remains. Detectives say the victim's corpse was found with grotesque injuries. Ugh. The head was partially decapitated. There were knife wounds to the wrist. Both eyeballs had been pierced.
Jeez.
The feet had been burned, and the sister claimed she had cut off her brother's genitals and eaten it.
Well,
according
to
police, yes.
At least she got right to the big part of the story. You know, at least she didn't just be like, oh, yeah, we got into some arguments. At least she just jumped right to, like, all of it's heinous, and then, like, what puts it over the edge? Just let us know.
He was watching nothing but Minecraft videos, and I wanted to watch my makeup tutorial, so I cut his penis off.
Oh.
Now, according to police, the mother just went shopping, leaving her son in the care of her daughter. When she returned, she discovered the front door locked. Apparently, the accused refused to let the mother in the house. The desperate woman was only able to gain access after the door was kicked down. The horrific scene was so macabre that the mother, who police have not named, had to be supported by neighbors as she passed out from the shock, which I can fucking imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how long
she bolted out of the house?
How long was she shopping for? How if you're the mom of this, now I'm not blaming her whatsoever, but it's like you got to kind of know this 18-year-old girl maybe shouldn't be trusted with the kids. I mean, is this just the first thing that someone does wrong, or is this just a lead up from a series of other horrible things?
I don't know. This is like from what I have read, it seemed to be this is a surprise.
It seems like a bit of a surprise.
It seems a surprise. Family members reportedly told police that the teen had never really given any problems before. She was quiet and reserved and had always taken care of her brother. And then she finally really took care of her brother. Because the suspect has been charged with murder and the attempted murder of her fucking uncle, too. Because she was trying to get out of the house and she fucking freaked out and stabbed her uncle.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
No, I mean, she was just either powered by the power of the devil, which, from my information, mostly that means you make some killer fucking heavy metal music.
Sure.
Or you end up in an hours-long Reddit debate with somebody about the First Amendment. Those are the two types of Satanists. Where it's like, you're either fun Satanist or you're a long-winded political Satanist.
Well, I like the First Amendment cases. Those are very funny to me.
But it's always that.
It is. I love that. So, yeah, as Henry mentioned, she injured her uncle, but this is according to Detective Anderson Goez. The uncle was hit and injured by a stone. And then this next bit of detail is then she bit the family dog.
Oh, yeah, she bit the dog.
Well, she was being restrained by relatives. She bit the family dog.
She's like a tiny girl, too. She's like a little, like little, you know, she's like a little sprite.
I don't know. I mean, again, they did some tests to see if she was under the influence of drugs. They don't say if she was or not.
No, it does not. It is not revealed. It just sounds like, I mean, this to me is a high on life scenario. I don't know if this is drugs. Because a lot of times, do you remember that year? We covered this many years ago, but the guy that the famous case of the homeless dude eating the other homeless dude's face.
The Miami Zombie.
Yeah, they're blaming bath salts and doing all that shit. But his blood tests came back clear.
Yep.
He was fucking sober.
He was totally sober. That is 100% true.
Sober people decide to do, Travis. Ooh. Looking at you.
I know, Travis Morningstar.
He's looking at your penis, because think about it. Your penis is at least four or five bites. at least to get because you have to pull and tug, you gotta tug and tug and tug and get a little sections of it at a time because you're not getting that all. Like, I'm not saying you're, it's not about you having a huge penis, but a penis is hard to fucking rip off.
All right, well, that's Henry Zebrowski impersonated a demonic pug for some reason. Yeah, I don't know.
That's Travis chewing on your penis.
All right, well,
going,
you know,
like,
what?
Give
that
me
is
a raise.
Right.
Give me a raise. Satan says you need to give me a raise. And, he's chewing your penis, and you're like, Travis. You're something else.
Yes, indeed. I'm sure Travis loves the being involved in your tales.
I'm certain he does.
I'm certain of it. All right. So this woman, she's going to go away for a long time. I don't think she's going to be on the streets of Brazil anytime soon.
I don't know how the prison systems are in Brazil.
I'm assuming no matter where, I don't think there is a prison system that would not sentence this woman to time.
In Norway. No, dude, you remember with Varg Vikernes for that horrible, that very brutal murder of Euronymous. He only went to jail for 20 years. That's the most, that's the maximum. You could go, I could chew my brother's penis off. I could steal a car.
Uh-huh.
I could bet against myself in a professional baseball game.
Right.
And then I'd still just get 20 years.
Yeah, and of course, the last thing is what Pete Rose did, but he bet on his team to win, so put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. That's my thoughts on that.
This is a revisionist history thing you keep going for, and I'm with you, because I feel like if you explain to your teammates, my money's on the line here,
exactly.
We have to win, they're going to work harder.
Yeah, absolutely they will. I mean, initially I was like, why don't they like Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? And they're like, he bet on the game, and then I was like, oh, maybe he bet against his team. Then I found out he bet on his team, and I'm like, more incentive to win.
Didn't Jordan do the same thing?
Jordan was a rabid gambler who, without a doubt, bet on his team.
But you think he must have bet on the Bulls multiple times.
There's no
way he didn't, because he was very, very proud.
Yes, and again, he needs every incentive possible to turn on that sociopathic switch he was able to turn on that led to him being the greatest basketball player of all time. And as a Knicks fan, I vomit just saying that in my mouth, but that just is the reality of the world that we live in.
I will say, you know what is almost a relief of this nature of this type of crime? When something is so horrific, like, you never really want to come home and find out that your daughter bit the penis off of your son.
No,
and
of course not.
And pierced his eyes. And she's like, you don't want that.
No, but no one wants that.
You don't. But no. What's nice is almost a relief of being like, oh, I could just hit her in the head with a golf club and fucking kill her. Like, she's a monster. And so it eliminates all the gray areas of, like, what do I do about this? How can I forgive her? Where if you're eating somebody's fucking penis off, you're like, you're just out of the realm of,
right.
Like, let's sit and talk about what you've done.
No, I mean, oh yeah, this is not a made-for-TV movie where the girl was found maybe drinking and driving or something like that. This is bad.
I got to say, me and your father sat and had a long conversation about this, and we feel that you did consume Jeffrey's penis, but we're going to let you go to prom.
Really?
Because we think that the afternoon you've spent in this room here has taught you enough of a lesson.
Yeah, reflecting, huh?
Yeah, and meanwhile she's there just like, just chew it on a summer sausage.
Yeah, and who's taking her to prom? That's what I want to know. Be careful
also,
out there.
I read stories about that. You remember that there was the artist that I believe he cut off his own penis.
Yes, we talked about that.
And served it. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But apparently the penis meat is like very, very bad calamari, where it is very, very chewy. But
right.
I also wonder if that's when it's cooked. So, because calamari, if you overcook it, it gets really, really chewy.
Mm-hmm,
but then I wonder if the penis is fresh, if it's just like sashimi. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if it's like what that texture would be.
Right. And again, this is all being recorded, and these are outside thoughts that you're expressing, and these are questions that are valid, but perhaps not necessarily needed. We have stretched on this conversation about genital mutilation for a very long time, and I give you credit for that. I give you a lot of credit.
We have to generate content for the people.
Live from your grave. Rise from your grave.
All right. Well, speaking of, well, I guess not really. But this person, this next person is also totally crazy. Not as crazy as the chick that Henry pontificated about for a good 20 minutes. But this, let's go to Australia. An Australian man blew up a couple's car who beeped at his girlfriend in a McDonald's drive-thru. So an Australian couple found themselves the target of death threats and a car bomb after they beeped at another vehicle in the drive-thru. Through. This is, they were picking up some food at the old Mickey D's in Wollongong. I love the names of Australia. It's Wollongong.
We're going to see a lot of these places. We got invited to go to the, where, what was the town we discussed last week with the wooden bong? And
wooden bong.
The name. What was it called? Oh, yeah, it was called
it's wooden bong. It's
just wooden bong. We got invited to wooden bong, and apparently they say, like, hopefully they built that wooden bong there, because if not, there's fucking nothing else.
Really? Well, yes. The wooden bong would certainly be a treat for tourists and residents alike. So they were in Wollongong at the McDonald's there. You know, they do have a different McDonald's. They have stranger. What are some of the different hamburgers that they have at McDonald's in Australia? Because we should try that.
They have a place called like Horny Jack's.
No, I don't know.
A place called Bagoo's.
No, I'm talking about McDonald's. McDonald's is a different menu for the Australians.
Well, yeah, they could have beer. But a lot of times they do that in other countries because they're more advanced than we are. I believe it's called Macca's.
Oh, right?
It's called like Bagadoons. I think it's called Grapes.
Yeah.
Grapes? It's like, yeah, it rhymes with ripes. Well, like, either, oh, good, good. I'll remember it then.
Either way, there were some gripes here. A woman allegedly veered dangerously close to the unnamed couple's oot or ute. When they honked their horn, she became angry and confronted them in the drive-thru. The couple drove away and was like, all right, nothing really happened. A pretty typical little beeping, nothing happened.
Sure.
But this person, this is what's so crazy about this story, just stewed and stewed for weeks. She went home and told her partner and even complained to the Wollongong police about the incident. She called the police. The day after the McDonald's altercation, the couple found the window of their Ford Rodeo had been smashed. Over the next few weeks, they received a torrent of online abuse and threats, which they reported to the Fixated Persons Investigation Unit, the FPIU, which is, I didn't even know that existed, the Fixated Persons Investigations Unit, which targets lone wolf extremists, believed to be the, yes, believed to be a future terrorism threat.
Whoa.
So on March 5th, things really escalated when their ute was blown up. Quote, a sophisticated explosive had been placed on the vehicle while it was parked in the couple's driveway. It only destroyed the car partially, but was definitely, according to the FPIU, strong enough to kill. So
I will put it this way. How do I say this without causing a criminal investigation? I can see myself doing this.
No, you can. No, if someone honks at you, you don't the next day throw a rock through their freaking car window and then a month later blow it up. You would do that?
Not that extreme, but I like the idea of extended vengeance.
But it was a honk at a McDonald's drive-thru. If you're not honking at the McDonald's drive-thru, you're not hungry.
But
that's the whole point. You're grumpy because you're hungry. That's why you get a lot of altercations at drive-thrus because they're not full yet.
The term is hangry, first of all. If I'm going to be a cultural fucking scientist here, it's hangry. But also, there's something that's not really about the crime at all. It's about the exquisite hunt of the person you viewed as the aggressor.
Yes.
Right? It's the person, it is the slow but sure, like, where I'm going to find you. You don't know I'm coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I'm looking in your windows. I know what your wife looks like.
Yeah,
I know what your lawn is at. I'm out there. I'm pretending to be a pizza delivery man, like knocking the door being like, pizza. And then when they say, like, I didn't order a pizza, like, funny. I don't know why I'm here then. And then we're like, I think I recognize that guy from the guy that I honked at Gripes.
Yeah, right. So two people, you know, I think this guy is going a little too far. I'm just going to say it. Two people were arrested this past Tuesday at a local BP gas station. Police arrested a 33-year-old man and later his 31-year-old female partner and also seized another pipe bomb, a drone, and baton while they were searching their car. The man was charged with two counts of using carriage services to threaten serious harm, two counts of stalk or intimidating, using a carriage service to threaten to kill, destroying or damaging property, placing an explosive in or near a vehicle, threatening a witness, and two counts of possessing or using a prohibited weapon. He will appear in court. So I'm just going to say this. Maybe these people don't necessarily need to be out in public right now. Just take a couple of weeks off, go to the chill tank in jail, and just try to relax yourself. Find Buddhism, maybe.
Honestly, they should just go on vacation. It sounds like these people need a vacation from their problems.
It does. It does.
That's what they need. They need to relax. They need calm.com. We're not being paid for that advertisement.
For calm.com?
Yeah, we are, though, on last podcast, but not on Side Stories. But they could use it. I feel like this is a good example of a time when calm.com would come in.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Maybe calm these people down before they decide to commit domestic terrorism over this tiny thing at a restaurant.
Absolutely. No denying that.
I have a little addendum here. I'm looking at the Australian McDonald's menu.
Okay, what do we got?
And so we've got the Big Brekkie.
Oh. Mm-hmm,
the McFeast.
Do they have beans in that?
they have gravy-loaded fries.
Ooh, yeah.
The thing that caught my eye was the Frozen Coke McSpider.
Now, what is that?
Now, that seems to be some kind of Coca-Cola product with whipped cream and then maybe spiders inside of it.
Is that actual spiders?
It's called the Frozen Coke McSpider. I'm sure that means something like actually delicious in Australia.
I don't know. That could actually go either way. If you're Australian and listening, let us know what that McSpider is all about.
But it's on the loose change menu.
Oh, okay. That is so much like better than the dollar menu.
There's a place I go to sometimes in LA. It's called Night Market Song. And one thing they have is what they say. It is a traditional relish that's served with various meals. But mm-hmm. It's made out of water bug. Like, they have water bug mixed it, like, smashed up into a bunch of spices. And I was like, this is a fucking joke on white people. Like, this is just straight up a joke on Los Angeles being like, oh, this is... Because you crunch it. Like, I had one little bite of it. And the legs and the stuff in it that are just, like, it's just very bad.
It's bug meat. Wait, hold on. This is like... This is the future nobody wanted. Robots are taking over. By the way, Walmart has said they're going to get robot janitors. They're going to double down on that. They're going to get a huge, huge army of dumb robots. Well, and now bugs. What's going on?
Can you imagine if they were just so wanted, like, we're replacing the janitors, but we don't want to lose the authentic janitor feel, so we put a little tongue on it so it can still lick a child.
I don't think the janitors do that, and you have maligned janitors for far too many years on this program. We have a lot of great janitor listeners right now who are doing the work that others don't want to do because they're brave and because they see a mess and they clean it up for our comfort.
I agree. I agree with that statement. I'm just saying the janitors who listen to us are the good ones.
Uh-huh. You've said this before. All right. Well, I believe it's time for Hero of the Week. Are we at the Hero of the Week time?
Oh, yeah. If we're going to do a Hero of the Week, we got to do it now, Castle.
Let's do it now. Let's hit that intro music.
Yeah, new intro music.
Recordings of number stations. I love listening to them. It is. It can be a real magic.
Hero of the Week, baby.
Oh, yeah. Back in it.
All right. This week's Hero of the Week, it's not just a hero. It's Heroes of the Week. Bret the Hitman Hart. He was given an acceptance speech in a WWE ring. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame where he belongs. He was a great awesome, incredible wrestler. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels said they loved wrestling with him. He was just one of the best that's ever graced us with his presence. Will this lunatic, he's a 26-year-old, they say the word fan, but I'm going to say psycho. He's not a fan. He jumped into the ring. This guy's name is Zachary Madsen. He slipped under the yellow ropes of the wrestling ring and knocked the hitman to the ground.
Now, see, I thought that this was staged.
No, this is a dude. He was on social media leading up to the Hall of Fame, just being like, I'm going to go out there. He was hanging upside down, kind of like Joker makeup, which is the cliche for all people who are psycho to be like, I'm edgy and crazy, but also artistic. So he thought in his mind he was going to become be part of a storyline. But what happened was the heroes of the week are every single wrestler, including Davey Smith Jr., who just beat the living hell out of him.
So I want to see this video. I know that there's a video of it, right?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Yeah. Watch the video. They get on top of him, and then you can just see it was like 1990s football in the scrum. Everyone's taking little pops at him, little pokes at him, punching him in the face, punching him in the ribs, you know, really getting a good beat down on this guy. And as they're exiting the ring, Davey Boy Smith Jr. gives him a solid punch right in the face. So this man was lucky that the cops showed up.
Whoa. I'm looking at the video right now. Yeah, what a fucking idiot.
Yeah, dude, they're huge. I know wrestling is staged, it is scripted. Of course, that's my biggest pet peeve while watching WrestleMania, or not just WrestleMania, but when watching wrestling with people, they'll be like, oh, that was staged. Yeah, everything is staged. It's all spots. They set up spots still, and then they.
Of course, but they're still physically doing the actions.
Absolutely.
So it is very much real. You have to be very strong and very athletic to be a wrestler.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
And you
fake
get the
gravity.
Fucking hurt.
You can, as a matter of fact, speaking of not being able to fake gravity and just doing feats of amazing athletic displays, the Hardy Boys, Holden McNeely and I from Wizard and the Bruiser, we had a chance to go watch SmackDown this week, and the Hardy Boys won the tag team titles. I like the Usos as well, but it was cool to see the tag team titles go to the Hardy Boys because they are iconic. So anyway, so this Zach Manson guy, he was totally crazy. He tweeted about several wrestlers, including Charlotte Flair, Daniel Bryan, Vince McMahon. And this is according to the tweet that he sent out. He said, road trip, I want to say thank you to Vince McMahon for helping guide us to the main event of WrestleMania 35. He posted that on April 14th. So he is being held now. He faces assault and criminal trespass charges. He's being held on $1,500 bail. And I got to say, this guy was very lucky that the cops showed up, because otherwise those wrestlers were going to tear him limb from limb, because they are the heroes of the week.
They were in the middle of beating him to death. And that was great. That's what you get. It's like, oh, is it fake now? And I was watching for that one, you just lay waste to him. Fucking, and
oh, yeah.
Eddie's told me horrible stories of what he used to do in the dog pile. And how his father told him that you got to go in and grab the guy's nuts underneath like in the pile. I'm just like,
people would be like, poke him in the eye, all that. That's when football was still football.
It was
gosh
football.
Darn it. And people just got their asses kicked in the scrum. But anyway, so good job. Way to protect Bret Hart. And WrestleMania was awesome this year. So if you haven't watched it and you have the network, check that one out. All right.
I have a letter from a listener by the name of Sid.
Okay.
And it is a bit of literature written about, I believe it's about VeggieTales.
Okay.
And I'm going to give it a little bit of a read.
All right. So this is about the Christian show VeggieTales.
Yes.
Okay.
It's called I'd Need Less Jesus by Scorpius Is My Patronus.
Okay.
Do not endorse anything else by this person. I have no clue what this person's about, and probably shouldn't even say the name, because God knows what's connected to it.
Right. Perhaps.
Larry held up his 10-inch long Larry Jr. Bob winked and said, wow, you're long.
That's what he said, said Larry, as he began to stroke his over-glorified meat stick.
Bob was super horny, and he pulled out his baby squirter and started pulling it.
I'm ready, Bob,
Larry said, as his asshole was all lubed up now.
Cool, but why do you have an asshole? We're vegetables.
I don't know. Just stick your little friend in there.
So Bob did, but he wiped off all the lube first, so it was super painful.
Ah, Jesus, said Larry.
Well, that's who this show is supposed to be about, said Bob while he fucked him.
Ah, Bob, I'm going to come. Bob grabbed his cum cannon and ripped it out and stuck it in his mouth while Larry came. And then Larry said, "Whoa, did you just rip my prick off? That's hot." And Bob was like, "Yeah." Larry grabbed his vegetable hands around Bob's mini tomato and grabbed a knife and he started severing off Bob's weenie. Bob came unexpectedly and Larry stuck the knife in his asshole.
"Babe, I told you to come in me."
"No, you didn't."
"Really hope you're into choking," because
Larry grabbed Bob's neck and started throttling him. Bob was so turned on he came again all over his half-severed dingle-dongle. Larry's fully served man-woman-vegetable hood exploded with a cum a second later.
"God, you're good, babe," said Larry. "Yeah, it's because I got Jesus Christ in me. Actually, I'm not in you yet," said Jesus, because he's always watching.
"Right. Oh, said Bob. Jesus stepped on him and started fisting him so his hands were covered in shit and blood. "Oh, yeah," said Bob. Jesus stuck his flesh stick in there using the blood and shit as lube. Bob came and Larry moaned because Bob's cock was still in his mouth and was jerking off with a carrot peeler. And suddenly Larry walked over and pulled off Jesus' penis with his hands, started shredding it with the carrot peeler, and Jesus was like, "Yes." And then he came too. The three of them put their dicks in a bucket and went on with the day bathing in post-sex glory and stroking their sore asses.
All right. Well, I don't remember that being part of the VeggieTales storyline, but that's
I never watched the cartoon.
No, I never watched it either. It was just a little bit before my time, or after my time, I suppose.
I guess so.
Well, thank you so much for that illuminating tale.
Yeah. Thank you, Sid.
Yeah.
That's great.
Very, you know, right to the point. Didn't you know, skirt around what this was all about here.
No need to act like we don't want to get just to the coming vegetables.
I suppose so. And evidently the genital mutilation is the theme of the day.
Just this episode. And sometimes that's just how it is. And that's a synchronicity.
Oh, that's right.
It's just a happy accident. Is that what you want to call those happy accidents?
Really? Are you sure about that?
This whole show is just nothing but a happy accident.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a fun smile time with my best friend and Travis, who's chewing on your penis.
No, he's not. All right, enough. Thank you all so much for listening. Anything else? We're going to be on the road. We're going to be on the road. We're going to be on the planes. I'm still not fat enough to say I'm too fat to fly, so I have to go on planes.
But that's a good way to get out of doing the shows, is that you become too fat to fly.
I know, and then I'm just like, just give me the money, guys. You know, I can't. Just give me the money. Just think about that. So thank you all so much for listening
really
to Sad Stories.
As always, you guys remember, live.
Got to.
If you wake up in the morning and you're sad, you just go, live! And make your knees get up. That really works.
Absolutely.
And same thing with laugh. If you want to look in the mirror and just go, laugh, you could really kind of get yourself back in the mood. Get yourself being like, laugh, you fucking bastard.
Whoa.
Laugh, you hollow bastard.
Yeah,
scream
I don't
at
know.
Yourself.
Wow.
And love. But never yell love. Just say love. Love. When somebody says to me, like, how are you doing today? You go, love. You start to sound like the person that, you know, lives at a bus station, but...
Yeah, sure. And nothing wrong
positive.
With living at a bus station.
Unless someone's asked you to leave.
Well, then you technically do have to leave. I understand the rules of trespassing. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And thanks for giving to our Patreon. Don't forget, you can have listen to our Patreon interviews that Henry and I do. They're very, very fun. And thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves!
Hail Satan!
Magustalations!
Hail me, suck that dick.
Don't bite it. Do not cut off anybody's body parts, including yourself. That's the rule of the week.
Good listen. This is a very good lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Fun times.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.